Martin Lawrence turned down a huge movie franchise. And wait till you hear what it was.
And Kevin Costner had Whitney Houston's back even after her passing.
Plunk, who helped Drake and Common Honey end their feud. But first,
let's get this started!
All right, we all know Will Smith's been on a pursuit of forgiveness since he slapped Chris Rock. But he almost didn't star in The Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, no.
So on the Full Send podcast, we'll explain his hesitation. Check it out.
I did not want to make Pursuit of Happiness.
That movie's so great.
Yeah. I looked at it and it was like, you know, it's a really, really great story. But I was like, who wants to go to the movies to see a dude get a job in the 80s?
Yeah. When you put it that way, it's different.
Yeah.
And the studio did not want Will's son Jaden to be in the movie because it would look like nepotism. Well, eventually they realized that Jaden, who was 5 at the time, was the best actor for the role, and he got the part. So could you imagine that movie without either one of them in it? Who else could you see?
I definitely, you gotta keep Will. I feel like the child was interchangeable.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, okay. I feel like, but I'm glad it was Jaden in that particular role because that was kind of like his breakout.
His breakout joint, role,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it worked. Yeah.
I think Chris Rock would have made a good person for Will. He does well in movies.
I like Chris's serious stuff.
Yeah, yes.
Chris is an excellent actor, talented,
I think
and comedian.
He would have been good. And for the child.
I like him as Pookie in New Jack City.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
This is also, I feel like, a change for Will Smith, this movie, because we kind of knew him as one way. He was very vulnerable in this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And Will's Bad Boys co-star Martin Lawrence also made a big revelation. Now, the Jackie Chan offered him the role of Detective Carter at Rush Hour, which ended up going to Chris Tucker, and he turned it down because it wasn't enough money.
Oh, wow.
All right. Now, if you do the tale of the tape, there's been 3 Rush Hour movies now, but Marty Mar is impressed about it. He said, I was happy for Chris. I mean, that's what it was supposed to be, Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan. And they bought a beautiful franchise with Rush Hour. And it is what it is, because, like, people be sleeping on the fact that, like, Martin used to box. He got hints. He'd have been Ida in Rush Hour. But I think, I think they had the right part. So you think he didn't see it being as big of a franchise as some of the other things, you know, went on to be, you know?
Yeah. If I was Chris Tucker, I would be offended.
What?
Why?
Because it's making like Chris worked for pennies. Because he said, honey, there wasn't enough money for him.
Well, you have to understand that Martin was getting a lot of money back then in his show.
Yes.
Martin was crazy.
Crushing.
And
he was doing
movies too. Like, yeah.
And this is after Bad Boy too. You know, like after the first Bad Boy movie.
Yeah,
so like you can't just throw him something low ball.
You can't, especially just pair him up with one other guy. You know what I'm saying? Like Bad Boys, that's him and
right.
Will Smith.
Yeah.
I would feel a responsibility to that franchise. Also, like, let's be real, Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan are perfect for each other in that franchise.
Yeah.
Man, Chris got big bucks to do the second one.
He
yeah.
Did.
I'm
and
sure
the
he
third
did.
One.
Yes, yes, he did.
Yeah, so he good.
Yes.
All right, staying with the iconic movies, The Bodyguard. Oh my gosh, massive hit. It was a big hit in the 90s. Kevin Costner developed a legitimate great friendship with his co-star, the late, great Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Well, when Whitney passed, Dionne Warwick encouraged Kevin to give her eulogy.
Ooh.
And when he was asked to cut the 17-minute speech down, he refused. According to Kevin, somebody said CNN's here. They wouldn't mind if your remarks were kept shorter because they're going to have commercials. And I said, they can get over that. They can play the commercial while I'm talking. I don't care.
Yes.
Well, I mean, clearly this is the right thing. Is this, we're all going to do this for our friend, right? Just, or do you even go on longer for spite?
You don't care. You just do what you want to do from your heart for your friend.
Well, I'm sorry. You got to follow the rules, honey. And my thing is, honey, that money, when they were selling those commercials, honey, for that film, that could have helped the Whitney Houston Fund, the family to have extra money. So no way, honey, I would cut that commercial.
That's not how that works.
And Brett, you know better. We do radio every morning.
I know we do, but I wouldn't cut my... to somebody that passed away, my feelings and what I have to write to them for... You wouldn't care about that.
You should have did that when it was alive. So no, I would have just had... I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Gary, would you have one of us give your eulogy?
Well, of course. Hell, I wasn't here and I'm dead. Talk off.
Stupid.
Not a woman was safe whenever Gary was around.
That's how I would start mine.
Well, y'all, looks like you can thank Champagne Poppy's Poppy for squashing the beef between Drake and Common. His dad, that is. Mm. So Common recently appeared on Drink Champs and explained how Drake's dad played a key part in helping them squash their beef, y'all. Take a look.
I eventually saw Drake face to face, and then his father was there. And it was like,
y'all need to squash this. And I was like, man, this is an elder talking to me. This is man's father. Let me chill out. And then Drake just was like, we talked, and he was like, man, I ain't on this, blah, blah, blah. So we just squashed it.
Now, Common also said that the beef started after Drake began dating his ex, Serena Williams, and took subliminal shots at him. But y'all like how Drake's dad played a part in him becoming cool?
Yeah, it was brave. And I think he knew who to try that with, because if he did it one of his younger rappers, they'd have beat Drake's dad up.
Yeah.
And that's messed up, like you beating up somebody's dad, like, you next.
You're
next. You know what I'm saying? Looking at the other guy.
Taking the whole bloodline. Yeah, you don't want to.
Where your grandpa's at?
That's a fan too. Oh.
But that was a wild battle at Gil, because I don't know if you remember the records that like flew during that time. Like, you know, Drake has some subliminals, but Common hit him with like a whole joint, and he's like, I'm not a fan of the guy. The only thing Canadian about you, you Canada Dry. Something like that.
Oh.
He had a Canada Dry bar that was like hard,
okay,
man. Like,
okay.
I was like, keep it going.
And yes. Serena didn't marry neither one of those Negroes, honey. She got a white man. So kudos to her, honey.
Well, it's been a while since fans heard any new music from hot boy Bobby Shmurda. And according to him, it's because he's been blackballed by digital streaming platforms and music blogs. So Bobby took to IG with a photo of his non-painted nails with the caption, stop asking me to drop music. American DSP and music blogs, which they own, don't allow real Batman on playlists because I don't pay my fingers. So it's pointless until something is done with the people who own, runs, and manages these platforms. Do you think him painting his nails has anything to do with the...
Absolutely not.
It does? You think?
It has everything to do with you've never been able to make a record that topped the record that we knew you for.
What's the song he made?
Hot. About a week ago. That's the part that everybody knows. They throw the hat up in the air. Like, that was a big record.
Oh, really?
Then he had another joint called Bobby B, which didn't, you know, like, that first record was just so monstrous, it was hard to top that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just gotta just keep throwing it out there and don't use bots. Because if the digital platforms don't let you in there, it's because you got caught using bots, bro.
Wow. What's bots?
You know, when people, like, they be faking their plays just to make their streams more.
Well, yeah.
And, yeah, people start cracking down on that.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Like how they find out when people pay for Instagram people.
Exactly.
Like that.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all can't do that.
Yeah. It's like that same picture's on 18 other accounts.
Oh, wow.
All right, moving on. Tom Cruise takes the mission of giving a birthday gift very seriously. He's made sure that his former co-star, Dakota Fanning, gets an extra special present from him every single year.
Uh-huh.
He first started the tradition by giving her a cell phone when she turned 11 on the set of their 2005 movie War of the Worlds. And ever since then, Tom has given his movie daughter, Dakota, shoes every year for her birthday. She said, I loved shoes when I was little, and I started to be able to fit into really small adult shoes when I was on the War of the Worlds press tour, so I was really excited about them. So from that birthday on, he always sends me shoes. I am sure Tom Cruise is sending her some nice shoes.
Yeah, I'm sure, because she's an adult now. I'm sure she's in Louboutins and everything else.
Exactly.
I'm sure he does.
But does he send his daughter shoes? That's the question.
I'm sure he's sincere shoes.
Well, I don't know, baby.
We've never heard
sure
anything
he takes
too negative.
Care of her, yeah.
But the other thing too is like, if you don't know this about Tom Cruise, he is a magnificent gift giver.
Really?
And gives almost everyone he works with a gift. Once, if you have a birthday and you're a co-star in one of his movies, he sends you a cake every single year for the rest of your life. And then his Christmas cake is a very famous Los Angeles thing because there's one bakery up in the valley that makes the Tom Cruise Christmas cake.
And how do you know all that? He don't get that many damn good gifts. Katie here ain't got a gift in years, bro.
You don't know what Katie got. Don't do that.
She'll get it from Jamie Foxx.
A lot of hush gifts are probably given out, too. You know what I mean? Like, hey.
A lot of
Well, anyway, child, up next, honey, is Jake Gyllenhaal legally blind? Find out why he doesn't mind that at all right after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back.
Hey.
All right, y'all. Jake Gyllenhaal reveals the secret sauce to his success. And no, it's not just his great acting and obviously his good looks, but apparently he's legally blind, y'all.
What?
Do not feel sorry for Jake, however. He's been wearing strong corrective lenses since the age of 6, and he strongly believes his lack of eyesight gives him a creative edge, so much so that Jake ditched his contacts for his 2015 action film, Southpaw. Jake wanted his character's reaction to learning about his wife's death more realistic in one scene, so he didn't wear his lenses and could only react to hearing the news delivered to him. Oh. This is sort of crazy. Now, like,
wow.
We've been in some shows and films. Do you guys think it would be helpful for your craft to not be able to see the director or the other actors
around? Depending
on
what the nature of the thing you're filming is. Like, that scene in Southpaw that you talk about, mm-hmm. now that you explain that, yeah. I could see him doing that. But, mm-hmm. like, that maybe doesn't serve all scenes.
Right, yeah.
Mm. I couldn't do it. I need to be able to see and hear. I'm grateful for all my
faculties.
Yeah. Faculties, yeah, yeah. Gary. Yeah. My sight, touch, exactly. taste,
especially
all of
touch
that.
And taste. I gotta have that.
Yeah. No, no, I mean. All right, moving on. It's time for a
Dish Debate.
All right, guys, now this question has been making its rounds on social media for a while now, and people are completely torn on the issue, so it's only right we put our 2 cents in. Mm-hmm. So, all right, y'all, is it rude to leave your partner or significant other if they don't have TSA pre-check?
Yes.
Like, not like leave them for good, but like in the airport.
Yes.
Now, before we get into it, let's hear what Al Roker has to say about the matter.
Oh, God.
So, Dylan, obviously, Al, if you're quiet.
Well, here's the deal.
Because you left me real
I did,
quick.
But here's
oh,
the deal.
He did not.
Oh, but, it happened.
But here's the deal. I have metal implants. So if I go
don't
through regular,
try to go
if I go through regular
route.
TSA, it's the full pat down, rub down, massage.
No, but it's not a rub down. No.
All right, so like, are you leaving your partner or not?
No. Absolutely not.
Well, what kind of part, like, are we part, are we married?
It don't matter. If you're walking through the airport with somebody, you don't leave them.
Yeah. I mean, but like.
Even if they don't have the proper TSA, you once you get through whatever you have, you wait for them. You don't yeah. leave them.
Well, it's not,
or,
y'all,
or you go through their side and just go ahead and take your shoes off and do whatever. Be polite.
But it depends on the kind of leave, though, Brad. Say, for instance, we go to the airport together and you don't have TSA and I do, honey. I'm going to leave you there, but I say, girl, I'm going to save us a seat.
Oh, yeah.
That's
going to
be
what I'm going to do is I'm also figuring
you're
out.
You're so
I'm gonna
full
be like,
of it.
I'm going to be like, hey, blah, 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 blah. Do you have TSA pre-check? And they'll be like, no. And I'll be like, what time are you thinking about getting to the airport? And whatever time they say, I'm going to be like, I'll probably be there not at that time. And so that.
See, if we're traveling a lot and you ain't up to snuff with all the little perks to get through the airport fast, I can't rock with you. I'm not getting to the airport 3 hours early because you like to suffer. Yeah.
It doesn't
I mean?
Have to be 3 hours early. I mean, y'all gonna kind of get in the same kind of lines.
Yeah.
Now, I won't leave my partner, but my partners, they'll get left.
No,
because
yeah.
they should know better at this point.
Understood.
Clear is like $99. Come
understood.
On, fam.
Yeah.
A year, right?
Yeah. It's worth it.
My Lord.
I might help you get your TSA pre-check.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, do that then. Selena Gomez, y'all, is not a girl's girl, honey. Find out why Taylor Swift might be one of her only friends. That tea after the break.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they so sweet and rich.
A wall.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back.
Hey.
All right, y'all. Well, if you think Selena Gomez has a large girl squad like Taylor Swift, you are wrong because girls are mean.
Oh.
They're real mean. Recently, she admitted to keeping her circle small and tight because she can't deal with too many women and their attitudes. She said, it's a cliche, but girls are mean. It's a very weird competition being in the cool girls area. And then I'm just kind of like there. I don't know where I'm meant to belong. Do you guys think Selena's telling the truth? Are girls mean?
Some girls are mean, but didn't the homegirl give her a whole kidney?
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
did she give her homegirl a kidney?
No. Selena received the kidney.
She received the kidney.
Well, that girl probably wasn't the mean one, but women can be mean just like men are. Men are mean and petty and queenish. They get on my nerves. They're just like women now.
I think women are more, like, okay, check me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like women will have, like, a good circle of friends, and there's always a couple in there that aren't really getting along, but they kind of, like, keep it behind the scenes a little bit, or it's like behind each other's backs. Like, if your bro doesn't like you, you find out quick.
Yeah. Well, but that means men are just as worse as women. Men do all kind of petty stuff and keep stuff behind your back and talk about you and sleep with your girlfriend and wives. So, it ain't no different.
Girls will do that too.
Yeah. I know that. So that means it's equal, honey. They both mean it. That's
people
why
just bad.
I go solo.
Yeah. Do you have more men friends, Gary, or women friends?
I have more women friends, but I have more active men friends.
Active men friends? What's that mean?
Don't ask.
Yeah, we're just friends.
Okay. Well, let's get into this.
Dish Debate!
All right, so Benzino recently spoke on his daughter Coi Leray's decision to cut off communication with him because she didn't support his comments about R. Kelly. But he's confused about why she's so mad. Here's why. Check it out.
She made a comment about the R. Kelly situation and said that she doesn't want to have anything to do with me no more because of the R. Kelly thing. And I'm saying it, but then, right, about 4 months ago, she's on the Math Hoffa show, and Math Hoffa, which I thought, you know, was a kind of crazy question. He asked her, hey, when did you lose your virginity? She said at 14. How can you say that when you just said that you lost your virginity at 14? So is the guy that you lost your virginity at 14 with, is he a pedophile?
Mm-hmm. You know, and the crazy thing, you gotta like watch all the interviews to kind of understand the full context of what's going on. But even with the full context, my man still sound crazy. So do you feel like he's talking too much? Should he be speaking on Coi's business like this or no?
She should be talking about her damn daddy. That still her daddy had not been for his seed, we would have known her.
He be talking about her?
Well, she said she ain't want nothing to do with him, so that should be the end of it to me. Like, they should stop talking about each other. If they not dealing with each other and not cool, then don't talk to each other, don't talk about each other.
I blame some of these podcasts, because it's usually these podcasts that get people in trouble. Like, people don't necessarily come
out. They grown. These people going on their own.
They are, but you know, sometimes you get there, maybe you've been sitting there too long, maybe they offered you drinks. Now, now your brain is a little loose, and you're just kind of saying whatever, and then when you watch the playback, you're like, well, damn, I got to stand by this now when you're jammed up. So,
no, you call them and tell them, edit that. Don't play that.
Oh, they're not going to do that.
No.
Once you come out your mouth,
they're
going to
make a promo out of it.
It's theirs. Yeah, it's theirs. Mm.
Have any of your folks ever told too much of your business?
No, I don't have none.
No.
You don't have no business?
No. No. So, my mom don't have
we know what we say and put out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, y'all, coming up, Houston, we have a problem. We'll explain after the break. Dish Nation. Dish Nation. And we're back with...
Dish Is It!
Well, a list of America's nastiest, most stankiest cities have been revealed, y'all.
Atlanta?
So if you live in one of these cities, you might need to pull out some extra bleach, hunty, because according to research, these cities have everything from big, nasty cockroaches to horrible emissions. Let me run down the five nastiest. At number five, we got Jersey City.
Dirty Jers.
Number four, we got Detroit.
Hey.
Number three is San Bernardino.
Oh, it is.
California. Indeed. Number two is Newark, New Jersey. And sliding in at the number one spot, y'all ready for this?
Who is it?
Houston, Texas.
Oh, now that's a lie.
And y'all, Atlanta ain't even in the top 20.
And that's a lie, too.
Because that water flowed in the street a couple months ago and washed everything away.
Okay.
We had a roach tree in our backyard growing up. But you know, they have trees that have roaches in them.
Wait, what?
I mean, we called it a roach tree, but we didn't have like roaches. How my dad kept the house de-roached. But yeah, we had a roach tree.
De-roached.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, did he, like, spray it with sweet stuff that attracted the roaches?
And that's what was kind of in the tree. It was kind of sweet. It was
sap.
Like a sap. Yes.
Sap.
It was like a sap.
Yeah, that's, okay.
So that's where the roaches were and stuff, but.
So why didn't y'all get rid of the tree?
We needed our tree.
What did it grow?
With the roaches on them?
But it was shade. Yeah, we needed a shade tree.
Oh, tree was for shade.
Yeah.
So you had shade and roaches.
You had roach shade?
Shady roaches.
Yikes.
Wow, Gary.
That's why I learned the shade.
That's why you walk so fast. You're running from them roaches.
Okay. They bet you to fly, too, honey.
Okay.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.